Okay, Jel, welcome to the podcast. This is our second attempt after some failed Wi-Fi from my end. So apologies about that. Really great to have you on. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jake. So excited to be here with you.
Jel was amazing caring for my children as an osteopath, and you have a focus on babies. So let's start there. How did you end up as an osteopath, and the lens you have on kids in particular, like how did that come about?
Oh, it's been, I've been on this journey for 2 decades now, so it's really interesting that the turns that life has taken and my career's taken. I guess, to be really honest, I wanted to be a pediatrician when I finished high school, and I thank God that I never went down that path, because I would have missed out on so much of what I've been so lucky and privileged to have been able to experience working the way that I do with families, with babies and children in particular. So as I graduated as an osteopath, I remember I had a beautiful mentor, Peter Parker, who worked with children, come and speak to us I think it was my first week out in my course, and he shared his experience of working in an orphanage in Romania with these children, and his experience of that touched my heart so deeply, and I knew I would always wanted to work with children, but I didn't know how that would look, and that he was my guiding light in terms of where my career would go. And when I finished uni, I did my time and I did all of my really structural type of osteopathy to really get my hands, just to get a felt sense in my toolkit of what I actually was feeling and working with. And then from there, I started working with pregnant women. And then from there, obviously, they wanted me to look after their babies, and the journey from there has just been incredible, honestly. I've learned so much about health through the youngest patients I've seen, and the earliest I've seen a child is 3 hours old post a traumatic birth. I went to the hospital. So, you know, I really, what a gift that I get to work in this space, and the trust that I get given from the families that ask me to look after their kids.
So cool. And I guess I can frame this with a use case that was my second daughter was a real challenge to my wife and I. And there was about, 8 or 10 weeks into her life, and we couldn't figure out what was wrong with her. She was either asleep or feeding or screaming. And we'd been to a number of different people that, oh, the baby's got colic. And we'd gone down this rabbit hole of like, okay, well, maybe it's something to do with Loz's diet. And so she was radically changing what she's eating every day. And someone had told us that actually it was to do with the trapped gas in the system of the baby. And so there was a point where like we had this little child like strapped on the table, and we were going to shove something up its bum to try and like pull everything out. And there was a lady that was kind of old battle axe type midwife slash nurse who was giving us these quite aggressive like sleep tactics, and we were bouncing up and down and moving all over the place. And we ended up coming to see you, and things really started to shift having that happened. So perhaps you could give us a bit of a flavor for like the different problems that people come to you with. And that is obviously our particular use case.
Yeah, for sure. And the way that babies come into the world can really shape a nervous system. And so much of my work is trying to understand how is this little nervous system and this little being grown and shaped and come into life.
So babies are coming into your world, i.e. they come to you and you have to try and figure out like how have they started their life, what's going on around this baby. Take it from there.
So there's the physical component of why babies are brought in, and then there's also the emotional component, and the mind-body continuum is that they are one and the same. And the way I work and what I've learned through working with so many kids is, and adults, but anyone I see, it's trying to really understand what are these tissues trying to show me? What are they trying to tell me? What's being stored in the body? And more often than not, and the more work that I do, the emotional holding in the tissues is extraordinary, and it's so telling of why then the physical symptoms come. And with the babies, there's no speech. So all I have is the history and really truly understanding what was happening for the mum and the dad at conception through that pregnancy. What did the birth look like, and what is that entry into life and starting like, what is that? What is that? Where's the story? Because that's where the answers often lie. There's so much information there that really helps me understand where I'm needed most to start. And then, and from there, the body then will guide me and show me where it is that I can be of most service and help. So whether it's a digestive issue, and like with Cleo, your second baby, she was really struggling with the digestive system. There was so much physical pain in her body that was really affecting her nervous system and her ability to be a calm, settled baby that, you know, she was thriving, but she was in so much pain and there was so much distress in her little system. And the impact of that, like the ripple effect on everyone else in your family dynamic, it was impacting everyone so greatly. And I ended up working with Lola's, your wife, to try and help her contain and manage what was happening for her so that she could then be able to hold that loving space for her child. And it's so hard when we've got stuff going on in ourselves as an adult to be able to then hold that space and that capacity to deal with whatever's being thrown at us by our kids. So that's where, like, my work is so much and my time is spent in that mother baby dyad. But also, you know, I'm so lucky when I get beautiful fathers like you that want to be a part of that journey as well and be open to even understanding what that looks like, feels like, and the role that everyone plays in a family dynamic.
If I remember correctly, Jill, I had a couple of sessions with you. I'd come into the room, I'd lie on the bed, and I'd basically just fall asleep straight away. And that's obviously what I needed at the time. This is really jogging my memories. It's a wild period of my life where there's no doubt that Loz and I were tested to the absolute max by this experience. And if you remember, it got very, very spiritual on a level that I had never witnessed before in my own life. And so to tell a story that has come up in the podcast before, but to reiterate here, because you were really part of it, we ended up in a situation where we understood that Cleo had spirits attached to her. And if you remember, we looked at the video of her being born, and there was a 60 to 90 second gap between her exiting Lauren and starting to cry for the first time. And what we learned was that that was a moment there were some elemental spirits at the property where she was a home birth attached onto her, and they were digging into her back like little hooks. And that's why she was arching her back the whole time. And I had this wild experience where I had her like on my arm. I couldn't stop her from crying. And I just suddenly felt like I had to talk to something. And this was just before we spoke to my mentor, Jason. You need to leave now. Like, I was holding her back and I like almost shouted at something in this room. And suddenly I got this huge rush of energy up my neck. I'm getting it even now. And she just slumped like a little baby. And then that night, we had the worst night we'd ever had. And I'm reminded of the story that you told me about the baby monitor in one of your children's room. And this idea that, like, what is going on out there? So if any of that resonates, please take it from there.
Well, this is going into the woo-woo. I'm open to all the things I've seen over the years now. There's just no judgment. There's a place for it all, and body, mind, spirit, it's all connected, and whether you're open to it or not. And I think coming into that, I don't know how open you were to any of that, but it just showed you.
Well, I just never experienced it, Jill. I had never physically seen something manifest like that. It was just inexplicable in the physical world. Like, what the hell just happened? I guess that's that idea that your kids are, they teach you so much. And this was one of the doors that Cleo opened for us.
And I think that's the thing. Our kids are the purest form of energy. They come from source. Like, they are the closest connection you have to that at either end of life. I see it clinically. But I think part of me maybe gravitates to that because it just is just that capacity to access vitality, health, healing is that in its purest form. A baby, all they need to do is grow, basically, by like pure energy, life force, and growth. That's all that they're doing at the start of life. And to be able to work with that type of energy and healing, that capacity to heal and to grow, is incredible. And I guess with the light comes the dark and the shadow. Like, we see that in so many parts of life, and I'm not surprised when they come in their purest form, they're the most open. So that is probably when they are the most vulnerable as well. to these energies or entities. I don't work in that space. Sometimes it shows up in my room and I am aware, and within my capacity, I recognize it, deal with what I can. And like I did with you guys, referred you to Jason, because there are people that really do work in that space at a much deeper level. But it just, I'm here for all of it. My patients have taught me everything I need to know over the years, and I don't think I'll ever stop learning. But one thing I know without a doubt is that mind-body continuum is where the answers lie to most people's healing, regardless of what's coming in the meat suit, in the physical body. If we don't address what's happening at the mind level, then that's where disease comes, that dis-ease, that inability to feel at ease. I think with the children, because they can't tell me what's going on, I really do have to trust my hands and my intuition. And so much of the way I work is very kinesthetic. I feel it through my hands, through my own physical body, and it comes in. I can hear things, see things. I'm able to access and tap into, I guess it is the quantum field. That is, everything's energy, everything's frequency. All of the details of who and what we are not just in our physical body. It's in our energetic field. And in that realm, there's no time or space. So often when there's things that come up that don't belong to people of this life, that is why that's palpable. There's also that element of, it doesn't have to mean it's right here and now, and to be able to help people dissolve or resolve those things that their body holds on to, so they can actually release them and find ease and health. Amazing. Like that's the work. That is what I do, and what I'm so lucky that I get to sit in my room with so many different people, all different walks of life.
What's so cool, Jill, is that it's the results that you see, and the idea that, you know, you can just walk into your treatment room and you just use your hands. You know, you're just moving energy around. It's quite an amazing experience, and you're extremely good at what you do. So, I just love that when someone has basically followed a path. And on that, I'm learning through this podcast, actually, you're not the first osteo that I've had on. And an osteopath is a kind of, in some ways, it's a title that helps you do a bunch of other stuff. I think that's what I'm beginning to interpret. So were there some moments in the last 20 years that like radically changed how you saw the way to create vitality for people? What were some like mega things that might have happened that, you know, you didn't think before, or you had to change your mind on something?
I think for me, my own personal journey has shaped the way that I can show up for my patients and hold the space that I do. So I wear different hats, and it's interesting how the different hats have then come into my room and given me tools and the ability to access things I never really would have understood, even as a uni student, where you're just taught so much about the physical body. So I've done a lot of work in the yoga space, understanding the yoga sutras, and so much of the ancient scriptures have taught me more about how I do what I do than the osteopaths have been able to, other than some of my mentors who have really gone down that quantum healing path. Like I really have struggled to really make sense of that outside of my own work, outside of osteopathy. I worked as a mindset coach for many years, and understanding the subconscious mind and how the different things that happen to us then shape our nervous system and our reality. So it's just like all these tools have gone into my toolkit. I've needed to understand myself better as I've had to face my own challenges. I've had some trauma in my life that I've had to really work through, and I think that's helped me then have that capacity to sit. And sometimes I joke with my patients and I say, it's okay, I can jump in the hole with you, because I know I can get us out of there. And it's, you know, facing your own shadows, it really helps you be able to, it's the guiding light back to self. I mean, Ram Dass says we're all just walking each other home. And I truly, genuinely believe that. And I think this year, I lost two patients I've cared for 20 years, And so they've seen me my entire adult life, my entire career, and I've been a big part of them and their lives and their families. And to get a call to ask, asking for me to help them, guide them into the afterlife, is just so profound. And you know, I feel so lucky to have worked with so many babies and children, but I never imagined that I'd be needed in another way, where families are asking me to help their loved ones cross over more peacefully and with ease, and that true sense of freedom. And it is that real gift to then be able to help someone go into that afterlife, whatever that looks like. Yeah, is really like extraordinary, heartbreaking. Wow, to say goodbye, but
yeah. And so you mentioned the word trauma. Share as much or as little as you feel like, absolutely. But what were some of the traumas that you experienced that helped you become the healer that you are today?
I think for me, when I had my first daughter, just stuff came up that I didn't understand and I didn't really feel like was me, but it was just this real sense of, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just making a mess of this whole thing, and I'm such a terrible mum, and I have this refluxy baby that won't feed, won't sleep, is always in pain, and everything I do is to exist for her, but it's just not enough. It's just not enough. I just couldn't get it right. And then I went to my first NLP course, and some memories came back. And I knew some information about my start of life, but I didn't really understand how that had really impacted. And I guess my start to life, there was, you know, my mum was going through some really deep stuff when I came into the world. She'd lost twins at 7 months before me.
Wow.
So I think her body and the trauma of what she went through, I know now she hadn't really had the skills or the resources to understand or deal with that. And then that obviously shaped when she was pregnant with me, and then her way of raising me from the very beginning. Like, there was so much fear. So fear has been a really deep set tone in my nervous system that I've never really understood, but the more work that I've done, the more unpacking I've done through yoga, through meditation. I've just come out of a 4-month container with Peter Krohn, and that has really helped me piece together so many aspects of my own nervous system from the start of life. And they say, you know, my mentors have said, your purpose in life is often linked to the thing you want to help others heal from, because that's a thing you don't want anyone else to suffer from. And I think that that's my draw card. That is why I'm so drawn to helping mothers and babies and helping their nervous systems feel safe so they can connect and they can be attuned to one another. So I got that big long-winded answer, but it's been quite the journey. Awesome.
Well, thank you so much for sharing, Jo, because it's, I mean, trauma is not easy, right? That's the whole point, isn't it? So even talking through these things and you think, wow, like what? What does it all mean in some ways? But it's very powerful as you talk that through. And so how often are we walking around every day carrying experiences of the previous generation or multiple generations?
Oh, without a doubt. Like, I think we do come into this life with things that aren't necessarily ours, but I do think our soul is here to overcome its own adversities. Our soul journey is to learn and to find ultimate freedom, so we can access that deepest part of ourselves that is pure joy, abundance, freedom, possibility. It's all the shit that happens in the way that clouds that all, limits our ability to access that or feel that. And I think that's why I'm so drawn to working with children, because I think if I can do anything to clear any of these things early in their life, I'm hoping then their blueprint for the rest of their life is so much less affected by things that have possibly happened to them physically, emotionally, health-wise. There's so many things that happen, like what that we call these significant events that get stamped in the timeline and then shape our subconscious perception of the world. You think, if I've grown up with fear as my makeup and my blueprint of the world, then how am I ever going to thrive and be successful and do things and take chances? And do you know what I mean? It just, you can really see how that impacts just everything from a physical and mental point of view.
And so, Jill, was there a specific moment or, like, how did you get to that observation that fear was possibly the main thing that you had carried with you that you didn't necessarily, I don't know how to phrase this correctly, but if that's the word or the feeling or the anxiety or the subconscious trauma that you specifically on this life path have to deal with, how did you observe that in the first place? And like, how do we come to these realizations?
I think it's those worries, and like for me, it was that anxiety around not knowing what I was doing with my first child, and I didn't feel like pregnant that was going to be my experience, and I was really struggling to connect with her in a way I thought that I should, right? And it just it took my second, who was, she was just a happy, very chubby, thriving baby. She fed and she slept. She was an absolute unicorn. And I remember like cuddling her, and I could cradle her, and I looked down at her, and it dawned on me, I didn't do anything wrong the first time. It was actually nothing to do with me. She was in suffering. She had so much discomfort and pain in her gut, and she couldn't feed, so she was obviously quite hungry a lot of the time. But it took me to have my second to realize, like, I didn't fuck it up. I didn't do anything to hurt her or harm her. It wasn't what I was doing. It was obviously just that was her soul's incarnation, that she had to overcome these struggles so early in life. And some babies that I see and some children, it happens right at the start of life. And they're the ones that, you know, I'm so grateful that I get to work with them, because I really do feel like it makes such a difference to their trajectory. It doesn't mean we can stop it and it's never going to be an issue for them ever again, but hopefully the effects of it are so much more managed because we're aware and the parents are aware, and there are things we can put into place to help support their bodies and minds.
And it's funny because it makes me think about just the very concept of personal development work and the amount of stuff that's starting to open up to me that I didn't even know existed that you could work on. And this is kind of one of those areas. So let's head in that direction. So you've mentioned Peter Crone. What I know of Peter is he is the mind architect. And I'd love to hear what your experience was like going through his program and your reasons for going in the first place.
It's funny, you know, I love personal development, and it's just been so enriching for me as my being myself, but to be able to bring that into my work with my patients. But also I run a business, so just being able to understand people, because everything's people. Like, it's never the behavior, it's always the emotion behind it. And I think, like, in a very simplistic way, once you look at things through that lens, and how we do anything is how we do everything. So it translates across to all aspects of our lives. And I, you know, 5 years ago, life was crazy. Like, my business, 5 years down the track, I was really at a point at the end of last year, I was very burnt out. We'd survived 2 years of lockdown, but this feeling of why am I still struggling, and feeling like we're just surviving, not thriving. And it was just, I was looking for something to help guide me. And in the past, it had been personal development that had really opened up and helped me unlock just that stagnation, that feeling of, I don't know where I'm going. In 2019, my career and its trajectory was going on this really incredible path, and I still feel like I'm lost. It's quicksand, and I don't know where I'm going with what I'm doing. I have all of these amazing skill sets, and I want to help people, and I feel like I can do so much more than just in my treatment room. So that is, you know, I happened to be sent one of his podcasts, and it really struck me. He interviewed Kerwin Ray, and I then signed up to do a mastermind with Kerwin and his team, a business mastermind, because I thought that could help me just sharpen my axe and just really work through some of the challenges I was facing in my business. And then sadly, the day before I was meant to join his group, I got the news that he'd passed away, and it really impacted in a very deep emotional way. Just, I felt like, oh God, like I don't know where to go now. I don't know what I'm doing. And boom, like the mastermind was just, it all just, talk about synchronicities. I can't tell you, there are so many things that landed me where I did in this particular mastermind, and the timing and the dates, extraordinary. Like it was very divinely synchronized. I without a doubt know that there were some bigger powers at play that landed me there, and I was fortunate enough to be chosen by Peter to be coached. There's a big group, there's hundreds of people, and intuitively feels into who he'll work with. And then so much of the mastermind is watching other people be coached, and you learn so much by seeing other people going through what they're going through with him, and the way the basis of his work is we all come into these lives, into our lives with constraints. There's 10 main ones. He's writing a book, so I think I know what the 10 are, because they tend to be the same 10 things that we all work through or are challenged by in our lives. But the biggest, I guess the biggest three for me was, I'm not safe, I'm not lovable, and I'm not worthy. So much of my work with Peter and working through all of the theory was dissolving what he calls most simply the bullshit stories that then shape our reality, basically, in the simplest way. And it's been quite the ride, like an absolute roller coaster, where there's so much that comes up that's just our ego talking, and our ego puts up a really strong fight and resistance when we're trying to release it to actually get to the truth of all of those things and get to access that part of ourselves that really is who we are, that pure being of infinite joy, love, possibility, abundance, like all the things that we all strive for and we think's out there, but it's genuinely inside of us.
Oh my gosh, I'd love to do that. Sounds awesome. The cool thing when I hear you talk through it is, first of all, like the energy shift of like how traumatic it was on the process of getting into this program, and then the benefits of going through it, and like cutting out the bullshit. A lot of it is really just our own inner monologue. And things that pop to mind for me that might be relevant would be like, you're just not good enough. You're just not good enough. You're just not good enough. And some of the work I've done around why I think that is related to what came up in the past, like being packed off to a boarding school aged 8 years old, and suddenly you don't have any primary caregivers anywhere near you, and you think you've been like booted out of the tribe. It's like, okay, well, maybe I'll do well at school, or I'll do well at sport, or whatever you try and like fill that gap with, but like nothing changes essentially. And I wonder if that, well, it'd be a very interesting thing for me to go and do a course like that. What I would like to commend you for, Jill, is this idea of actually doing it, because we can sit around until, you know, the end of time saying, oh, I'd like to do this or I'd like to do that. But something stops us sometimes. It's that idea of like procrastination. Was there any moments where you thought, oh, I don't want to go and do this? Or was there any hard things that you realized you've been telling yourself and you were incorrect in a sense? Like how do you actually go and do it?
Do you know what, Jake? There was just never a doubt in my mind that that's what I needed to do. It's not even, I wanted to do it. It wasn't a need. I want to do this. My soul yearns for answers, and I want to be free. I want to be free of all these things that hold me back in life. I was getting up at 2 a.m. twice a week, every fortnight, and going through the night because I was so focused on being there in the container, in the energy of Peter and his team and the people in that group, because it just wasn't the same to sit and watch a recording back, because there was so much that you're processing, and as he downloads so fast, it just has been like quantum leaping, the things that have shifted and moved. And it was not like, there were some really scary, hairy moments of really being confronted with your innermost, deepest stuff and just trusting, trust and patience, and letting that move through so that it can transmute and dissolve. And I think that's been my biggest, the biggest gift that's come away, that I've come away with. There's been so many, but learning how to truly transmute those things, the energy of it, and letting it move through me, because so much gets just stuck and stored in our bodies. And how fascinating. I'm a body worker that helps people move energy through their bodies, but I didn't know how to do it for myself. Like, that was really just one of my biggest moments of, wow, like, there's so many people I've helped for over 2 decades, but never really truly understood what that means. And now that I have that ability and understanding and awareness, what I'm able to do on the table is just taken like a whole nother level of ability to access people's capacity to heal and be free, ultimately free their bodies and minds of the things that ail them.
And so, Joe, is it oversimplifying things, but the idea that you can join a video call with people conversing using language over the internet in multiple different locations at any one time, and through speech, we're able to dissolve, I think was a word you used, but the problems that are holding us back, whether that be our own inner monologue or past trauma, we can just talk through it and it just moves. Like, yes, is that oversimplifying things? I mean, how does it work?
Well, it's understanding the earliest point that you can remember and access that feeling of whatever it is that you're trying to resolve or dissolve. That's the key. Like, he teaches you how to go back to that point in time where those memories have come from. And sometimes there were points I couldn't access the memories. I couldn't even sit with the feelings that were coming up. Like, I was just trying to run away from myself because it was so visceral. And yes, and that's the irony too. It's just hot air. It's just words. You're abracadabra. As I speak, so I create. And the way Peter frames it is, it's either white magic, and then you can create, like, look how powerful you are at creating incredible things, but look how equally powerful you are at creating all of the shit that's happened to you through your life that then gives you evidence, and you use your ego uses to tell you you aren't worthy, you're not safe, you're not lovable. And that's, it's just dissolving the ego's resistance so that you can drop into a place of pure acceptance. So yes, it sounds simple, but
but it's much easier said than done, I think it's also fair to say. You know, the questions that you would have asked yourself, the places that you were taken to. I obviously haven't been through the course, so I can't speak for what it would be like for myself, but it's making me remember some experiences I had with some very deep meditation. So I had a podcast guest, Sam Gustafson, shout out to Sam, and we worked together for quite some time doing these, like, mad kind of 2-hour deep dive meditation sessions on a Sunday night, just on an audio signal audio. And some of the depth of the meditation I was taken to was like nothing I'd experienced before. But then you were able to have these conversations whilst in this deep meditative state, that I spoke with dead relatives of mine, including my father, about certain things that were going on in my life or that happened in his life. And the way that Sam framed it, that I really liked, and we became friends through the Bitcoin space, and he's talking about basically you're going into the operating system and you're tinkering around with the software in the back end that then has ramifications in your hardware, i.e. your physical body in the physical reality. And that for me was something that really started to hit home. And since doing that work, I've started to see it in more and more places, and I'm sure Peter would be all over this stuff. Perhaps you could give us some examples, Joe, of, like, where, obviously you've loved the course, but have you seen anything specific? I mean, have you only just finished it? It's probably a bit hard to say, oh, this happened because of the course or whatever. But any examples that spring to mind of, like, specific use cases of things that wouldn't have happened prior to doing this kind of work?
Yeah, for sure. So I'm in an integration process because it only has been a few weeks. But for me, there's just so many. Like, it's my whole...
Really? Wow.
my physical meat suit, I feel so much clearer. I'm able to process whatever's going on in my life in such a different way, with such a deeper level of awareness of where I am in that and then what's happening around me. And I know I'm definitely choosing my responses over just reacting, and it's coming. I can see that in my parenting. I've got a toddler and teenagers. So just that space between reactions or responses is so different. I can help them, talk them through things that I don't know how else I would have been able to. And you know, I have teenagers. Teenagers are amazing, but raising teenagers in this world is really scary. So it's being able to not transpose my fears onto them because of my past, if that makes sense. And that intergenerational healing, like breaking that cycle, like that is what I know I've my soul's here to do, because there's so much. I've got Holocaust background. There's so much in my DNA. There's so much trauma. There's so much there that I know plays parts or has up until this point, but I can see how just showing up for them, I can be so different in the way that I can hold space for them and be with all of their emotions and not run from them because I'm getting triggered. I can see that in my work with my colleagues. Everyone's got stuff going on, and this is what I'm finding. This side of the last 5 years, there's nowhere I turn where there's levels of helplessness that are quite distressing in so many aspects of people's lives and society. I've never seen anything like it. So be able to feel levels of hope and awareness and just being able to be okay with everything that's coming up for me and for the people around me has been extraordinary. And I felt like I was pretty good at doing that, but this is like a whole nother way of existing and operating in the world.
And Joe, what's resonating for me there is this idea that the best investment you can make is in yourself. And what I had previously been guilty of is not understanding how important one's health was as part of that paradigm. So it would be like, go and learn how to do digital marketing, or go to university and do a business management degree. Or it was all about how to make money. But it wasn't necessarily like, well, hang on, if you don't live an optimally healthy life with the body that you have and the mindset that you have, then none of that money matters. And so this kind of work, it's really just opening up to me, and it's something I'm going to do lots more of in the future, I think. But it's just very fascinating that he talked through it all. And again, this is mainly a kind of investment podcast, so people will be listening mainly for kind of like, how do I make some money? But this is such a big part of it too. And if you're guilty of overlooking it, then actually none of that money matters anyway. Again, share as much or as little as you want, but I can't get past that idea of having a Holocaust background. So what does that mean, and how did that manifest in your life that you've now been able to start to perhaps process, as you've touched on the word? It made me think of one word as brave, just how very brave it would be. You'd have to be to start really coping with some of those things.
Well, my dad's parents, his mum was a nurse and his father was a dentist. And the only reason their lives were spared was because they were useful. So the only reason I'm here is because they weren't killed when they were taken in the concentration camps.
Wow.
And then we're able to go on and have my dad. But there's not many of us left in our lineage. I'm the first girl or female in 100 years on my dad's side. So I feel like I called in a big life. I feel like I've had big work to do, if that makes sense. I feel like there's so many things that challenges I've had to overcome that aren't just mine, if that makes sense. To be a woman in business, I've had my own, like the challenge is just there alone, just because I'm a woman. You know, to be able to have a leadership style where you're not a real masculine alpha did come up for me in the mastermind. To be gentle is to be weak, and there's a real strength in gentleness, and it really helped me see those parts of myself and my personality in the way that I have so much compassion and forgiveness. I guess that capacity for forgiveness, I don't think that I would be able to embody those truly if I hadn't had the conditioning that I have had. But it's interesting how that's come up against me in many aspects, especially in the business world, where, you know, I probably could have made decisions where I could have been more ruthless, but I've chosen a different path. And I guess for me, everything comes down to, can I go to sleep at night and feel good about how I've managed myself, and would I want to be treated that same way? And that's not always how it works. And I've had opportunities to dip my toe in the corporate world, and I just don't think I'm cut out for it. I just feel so grateful that I get to do what I do in the way that I do it and running my practices. But the whole abundance thing, there's a whole module Peter talks about, and it just really, like, I've rewatched quite a few times now, because again, I've come from intergenerational poverty, like scarcity, like my whole mindset around money, I realized, has been a real holding energy because of fear, like that fear component. There it is again, like that holding and fear that if I don't have, well, I've got to hold what I have. But one of the biggest things that now Peter's taught me, and I really feel has really connected with my soul in terms of abundance, knowing that it's not out there, it is in here. Money flows through me for the good of others. And I really genuinely feel that now. And that's one of the biggest ways that I've been able to come back into doing what I do, because I've always struggled with the money aspect of getting paid for what I do. And I have my receptionist and I'm like, just you handle it. I don't want to know about it. Like, I'm very disconnected from it. Hmm. And I think energetically, well, no wonder then it's showing up and I'm feeling all of these things around money and abundance and flow that I want. And I feel like I have to strive for out there, but it's all to do with energetically, frequency precedes form. If I'm showing up like this, then that's what's being reflected in my finances.
Again, it's just opening up all of these different insights and opportunities to go and explore. So anyone who's listening to this conversation, they might understand some of it, but not all of it. You're like, okay, what does that mean? How can I learn more about that? And that's the invitation, right? It's like someone who's operating at a different vibration, maybe slightly higher, has come into your life and has helped take you to a new, more sophisticated place that you didn't even know existed. What really resonates for me from what you just said then is this idea of embracing your own uniqueness and not being ashamed to be who you are. And yes, you know, there'll be some bloke on YouTube hammering you all day long, be like, if you're not, you know, doing this, doing that, doing this, then you're going to lose. It's like, well, that works for them. Doesn't mean it works for you. And that's so cool. So Jill, so we've probably got another 10 minutes or so. And what I'd love to spend this time doing is going in a bit of reverse. You talked about the mind, body, spirit. So what does that mean to you, and what relationship do they have with each other?
I used to think it was a mind-body connection, but I genuinely see it as that bridge to one another. So our mind lives in our body, but really they're the storehouse for our soul. Like, our soul is who we actually really are at our deepest sense, if that makes sense. And I think that's that part of us that I think so often in life is the bit that gets hidden or in the shadow, or we're taught not to really to trust. And it's still like still so taboo, even in osteopathy, like to the fact that I work as using a technique called craniosacral therapy, there's just so, I feel like there's definitely a shift with people like Dr. Joe Dispenza in our understanding of what that actually means and what quantum medicine is and the quantum field. But it's really fascinating. I have a science brain. I did a science degree before my osteo, that sits there saying, but you can't talk about that. Like, that's not what we do when we are in front of a patient or in front of a podcast. But my life experience, my work in the yoga world, my work with my patients has shown me that is everything. It's all about that soul's want, need, desire to be fully expressed, because that is where it all comes from. It's that capacity to just be in an ultimate state of peace, love, joy, freedom, possibility. That's where it all comes from. Our meat suit, our physical body, is actually the storehouse for that. That's what life is. That's what life's about, really, truly.
It's so interesting. This is one of my favorite parts of being a podcaster. Like, I'm self-funding this. I set up a little business. We will make some money out of it at some point. But I get to ask people, like, what do you do and why do you think it's important? And it's not about driving clicks and driving ad revenue for someone. It's a primary research process where I really value listening to people who are like, well, this is what I actually went and learned, and this is what I now do. So thank you for sharing all of this, Jel. It's not about textbooks, essentially. Like, it's about going out and finding this stuff by yourself and being like, okay, well, that kind of makes sense. Well, that doesn't really make sense. And so you touch on cranial sacral. Lots of people listening won't have a clue what that means. So what is cranial sacral?
It's a technique. It's an osteopathic technique. It's very different to the rub crack style of very structural physical treatment that I think most people associate osteopaths with. It's just really working with the tissues through your hands, but really we're trained to feel through the different layers of the tissues. So whether it be the fascia, the vascular system, the nervous system, and it's helping the body find a place of ease within that. So it's very simply just a technique that I use. It's one of the techniques I use to help me get to that deeper level of the person's own capacity for healing, because we all have that. We all have that. I'm just like a fulcrum that acts. I act as a fulcrum to help a patient find that point of ease within their system, within their body, where the vitality lives. So in the yogi terms, they talk about it as a really energetic space. And I think that's where the magic happens, because it takes you to that really energetic space where anything can happen, whether it's the release of the physical things, the emotional things. There's disease that often sits. Everything has a very distinctive feeling in terms of what the tissues feel like. It was really amazing through probably 2020, when it was very new. I could put my hands on and tell who hadn't had or had not had COVID, because I'd never, wow. 15 years, I'd never felt anything like it. It didn't exist, but it was incredibly intelligent the way the virus was going through people's bodies, and I could predict based on people that I'd worked with prior to that where it would target in their body, because I knew their weak points. It just was extraordinary. And I'm starting to, there's things like cancer that definitely I have a felt sense of now as I work more, and it's just building that database in your hands. But it's just that, I guess it's frequency again, it's vibration, it's what the tissues hold. They hold a story, they hold so much information. So working with that cranially is incredible, but it's just a doorway in. Yeah.
Awesome. So what I love about it as a technique or a philosophy or whatever you want to describe it as, I suppose, it's a healing process. You're helping the body do the work. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I'm not doing it. The body knows how to do it. It's just clearing whatever's in the way of it being able to access its full vitality.
Hmm. And so why, a couple of things. Let me go here first. How do you protect yourself from that? Or is that even necessary? In that, if you're seeing patients all day long that are sick in some way, does it end up attaching itself to you somehow? And do you have to look after yourself in certain ways to make sure that's not the case?
Yeah, for sure. Like, I have to hold a space energetically where I feel safe in as well, right? There's a safety component to that where I want to care, not carry. And over the years, I've learned much more how to do that. And there's days I go home very wiped and I feel exhausted, but that does happen less now as time's gone. I have a strong morning practice, so I start my day with a sauna the infrared sauna. I do some kind of physical movement. I meditate, I journal, like I make sure my energy is as clear as it can be so that when I do come into my space, I can hold that for my patients and have capacity for that, but also not take it with me. I have a real ritualistic cleansing that I do between patients, and there's a mantra that I use and I sing, and it's just like an energetic clearing just so that I can come in with fresh hands. And often even with siblings, if everyone's in the room and they're booked back to back, I am finding I have to now, I'm choosing to go and physically remove myself, do my practice and come back so the energies aren't getting confused. And I feel like I can really hold that space for each individual person. It's funny, sometimes parents will ask me about that sibling while I'm here, and I'm like, I have no idea what's going over there. I am so in and I'm so present with what I'm doing right now. I can't even access that part of me. And it's just sometimes I think they look at me like, okay, I trust you, but it's just being, yeah.
I know it well, like turning up like, hey, Jill, there's like now three kids plus Loz and I potentially, and you're like doing one. It's like a bit of chaos going on in the corner of the room with all your toys and books that get whipped out all over the place. Interesting. And so where I wanted to go.
But that's amazing when you're all in. Sorry.
Yeah, no,
but when you are all in the room, so much of it is working with all of your energy fields. Like, that's the beauty in being able to see the family unit.
Well, I start getting tired. You're like holding onto a baby of mine. I'm like, oh my God, Joe, what's going on? Yeah.
And that's that felt sense of everything.
Why aren't there more people like yourself helping people heal?
That's a big question, Jake. I don't know. Why aren't there?
Well, it's because it strikes me as, I mean, I can see a whole lot of kind of conspiratorial angles where, like, the idea of like someone just healing you with hands, like, that's, you know, how's that a business model? You have to physically be in the room, and you'll know all of the constraints with building a business around that. But it's not like it's patentable, and there's not a whole pharmaceutical industry that can be built on the back of, you know, dealing with symptoms rather than root causes. Because you're, as you've described over the last 50 odd minutes, like, it's about getting right into the nitty gritty of how you think that helps then manifest in your body in a different way. Is there some reason why other people aren't doing this? Or perhaps it's, you know, there's just not as much, it's a special talent that you have, perhaps.
I think it's people go as deep as they're willing to see themselves. And I think that in all personal development, people can only meet you as deeply as they have met themselves. So it's everyone's on their own journeys and what their soul's needing to do and to learn from. And I guess for me, I just stay in my own lane. Like, I just focus on how I can be best of service and how I can show up in the best way I can for my family, for my patients, for my team. And that's where I don't kind of deviate out from that. I'm so grateful when I meet like-minded souls and I see people and I get to work with people doing the work. And for me, the mastermind really just, like, there was like a coming home, because I was surrounded by people that were just in it and aware of it and understanding it and doing the work on themselves. And, you know, Peter calls it, you know, the 2.0 version. And if, like, that's my dream, to be surrounded by more and more people that are willing to go there and go deep for themselves so that they can show up in the world from a place of true love and compassion, non-judgment, just really genuinely wanting to be good humans that do good for others. Like, it's very simply, but you can say that, but it's not necessarily a reflection that we see. Like, there's so much that happens in our life and in society and in our world that it just is a scary place to raise our kids in. So if we can show up like that for them and we're that for our family members and our close circles, and hopefully that filters out and then that inspires them to want to do the same for themselves and their families, and it goes on and on, like the ripple effect grows. But
awesome. It's really inspiring because it's, you know, you watch the 7 o'clock news and you're being told all of these horrific stories about stuff that just nothing to do with you. You know, they're miles away. Or you jump online and you're hearing about whatever you might be hearing about, and that stuff is all completely out of your control. There's basically no point pointing any of your attention towards it. And something I'm learning as we speak is this idea of, like, attention management, our attention is the scarcest thing that we have. And therefore, where you point it every day is the most important decision you make. And so, yes, like, what can you control? Well, first of all, yourself. And that morning routine you described sounds absolutely epic. But then equally your customers and your practice, like, absolutely awesome. Good reminder, basically, to just really just focus in on what you can control and just not get too fussed about other stuff. Well, Jael, listen, so that's been a wonderful 60 minutes of chatting, and you've shared some really incredible things. Thank you. Last question is, if people wanted to reach out and get in touch with you, what's the best way to do that?
I can send you my link to my clinic website. I didn't even get a chance to tell you about Happy Hearts, my passion project, but through that website as well. I am stepping back in the arena, doing some coaching again. I felt so inspired coming out of the mastermind. That is something that I'm also being called to do. And that's something that I really stepped off that platform before when COVID hit, and I just haven't really been able to feel my way back into what that looks like. But I just feel like, and I have been doing some coaching the last few weeks again, and I'm just so lit up again. I just, I'm loving being back in that space. So I can send you a few links there.
Awesome. Yeah. And I'll follow up with that before we publish anything. So Jael, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.